I'll try to say a few words tonight on a subject that is very near and dear to me, and I know is near and dear to you too. And that's on the subject of the church. I spoke on this at the church where I'm a member at Friendship Primitive Baptist Church a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to preach a whole sermon, but I just want to say a word about church. And I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of times, and this doesn't just happen with preachers, you'll talk to somebody, maybe they will challenge you on what you believe, and when they do, that stirs your mind up. And it causes you to think and causes you to begin to look in the Bible, and that's good. And I'll tell you what stirred me up on the subject of the church, and basically it's about church membership. And I had a conversation within a matter of a couple of days with two different men who are both professed sovereign grace believers, and I believe they are believers. I trust they are. But they both wanted to downplay the importance of the local church. One of them asked me the question, have you ever read anywhere in the Bible where somebody actually joined a church? Well, I think I have. And I'll share that with you in just a minute. The other asked the question, asked me to give a definition of the church, and I said, well, the very basic definition of the church, it is a body of baptized believers. That's just a very basic definition, but it's good enough. And he said, well, when the church meets, and after the meeting is over and they break up and leave, are they still a church? Well, I've never been asked that question. I had to think a little bit. I believe that they were a church, but I had to think just a minute. I know here, I thought about this here a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when, there's a wonderful thing that happened in this country. And that's when our Congress adjourned. And all the members, or many of them, left Washington and went back to their homes. Are they still a member of Congress, even though they're not assembled there in Washington? I believe they are. I believe if you ask any one of them, they'll say, oh yes, you better believe I'm a member. And most of them say they want to keep on being a member. They want to try to get reelected. I talked to Brother Jimmy Barber this afternoon on the phone. I was talking to him about this, and he brought up a point I hadn't thought of. He said, how could Paul write letters to the churches? He addressed the letters to the churches, and you know that when he wrote the letter, they were not actually assembled at that time, but yet he addressed the letters to the churches. But before I begin talking about the church, just briefly, I want to say why that we should want to be a member of the church. Not because mom and daddy was, or not because that's the thing to do. But brothers and sisters, you and I, and all God's people have been bought with a price. We've been bought with the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly what all is meant when Jesus talked or wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus there in Revelation and told them that they had left their first love. That was the thing that he had against them. But what is our first love? Our first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that all of you can remember. I'm not saying that we all had an experience like Paul had on the road to Damascus. Some may have. But you all remember that time in your life when you realized that Jesus Christ died for me. I know in my case, I had her all my life, ever since I was old enough to hear and understand anything about how that Jesus Christ had died. And I knew that he had died, it was preached that he died for sinners. But one time, and a blessed time it was, I realized that he died for Ray Hoggard's sins. Not only did he die for us, and I'm not saying that to downplay that, but this is something that's been on my mind a lot in the last few days. Not only did Jesus die to save us from our sins, not only through him we have the forgiveness of sins, but brothers and sisters, we have been declared to be righteous. His righteousness has been imputed to us. Now, when God placed Adam in the garden, Adam was in a state of innocence. And he had an inheritance. God told him, this is your garden. You go and you dress it, you keep it. In other words, it was something for him to enjoy. There were no thorns or thistles. There were not any weeds that he had to pull. It was just something that he was to enjoy. He had an inheritance. But the inheritance that we have, Peter tells us, is an inheritance that's uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. What happened to Adam's inheritance that he had when God placed him in the garden? That inheritance was lost. That inheritance faded away because Adam failed to keep that covenant of works that God had given. God gave him one commandment, and that commandment was, you could eat of any, do anything, eat of any tree that you want to, but this one certain tree. That was the only commandment that he had, negative commandment that God gave him. But Adam disobeyed that. And the inheritance that he had was taken away from him. But we have an inheritance that's uncorruptible. Why? Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to us. It's been charged to our account. I love the doctrine of justification. I heard, getting back to what I said just a minute ago about that first love, I heard a sermon that a preacher preached one time, a good man, but I cringed when I heard him say this. He was going to preach on justification, and he kind of berated his congregation, and he said, I'm ashamed to say that if I asked you to define justification, you couldn't do it. Well, I don't know if they could or not from a textbook standpoint, but brothers and sisters, every blood-bought child of God that's been regenerated by God's Holy Spirit and has been blessed to be given faith, to look at Jesus Christ as their Savior and to realize that He died for their sins and that because of what He did, that we're no longer under the judgment of God. Every person that knows that knows justification. I believe, to me, that is the first thing that any child of God, when he is born again, is able to rejoice in. I know that when God regenerates a man, and I talked about that a little bit when I was here before, sometimes there may be a period of time from the time that God gives that life until actually you're able to see and believe that life is there, but you become aware that you're a sinner during that time. But when you are able to look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, He's my Savior, He died for me, that is justification. Now, that's the kind of people the church is made up of. I'm going to tell you, you may have heard this, I may have told you before, but I know you were a good friend of old Brother Lowell Miles, and I just love old Brother Lowell, and I know you did too. Old Lowell told me a story, told me a lot of stories, but he was getting ready to go to a meeting. He and Brenton, his brother, and it was a couple 300 miles away from where they lived. They were going to leave that morning, and they stopped at this restaurant there in the town they lived in to eat breakfast. And the fellow that he'd worked with some asked him, noticed he was kind of dressed up, and asked him, was he fixing to go somewhere? What he was fixing to do? And he said, yeah. I said, we're fixing to go to a meeting over here, I think, in San Angelo, Texas. And he said, what do y'all do at those meetings? He said, well, he said, we meet there, and he said, we sing a few songs, and then we hear some preaching. So usually a couple of preachers get up and preach. And then we'll stop, and we'll eat lunch, and then we'll come back, and we'll sing some more songs, and we'll have some more preaching. And he said, how long are you going to be gone? They said, well, this is on a Friday. He said, we're going to stay through Saturday. And he said, you mean that y'all are driving 200 miles for that? You know, just to hear some singing and some preaching? Now, that is a strange thought for an unregenerate man. But if you have no desire to hear preaching, if you have no desire to hear the saints of God sing praises, how happy do you think you would be if you were in heaven? Because all we're going to do in heaven throughout eternity is praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the picture that's there in the book of Revelation. And what do? They're continually before the throne singing praises to Him, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That He's worthy and He only to receive our praises. And that's the kind of people that love good church. I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Some people may say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, it was the Old Testament. But what did Paul tell Timothy? He told him that he had written to him that he might know how to behave himself in the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And I'm probably not going to say what I thought I was going to say tonight because I want to leave some time for Brother Timothy, and I didn't intend to take this much time in introduction. But I will recommend a book to you about the church. Maybe sometime, if I have opportunity to speak to you again, I may go further into this. But a book that I would highly recommend to you on the doctrine of the church that you'll tell you more than anything about the organization of the church, the practices of the church, and that is the book of Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. But if you read it, you'll find that there's more than anything else. It tells the history and the acts of the local churches in that day.